and welcome to Living and Loving Life, as seen through the eyes of a crystal indigo perspective. I'm Preston, your host, here today. Just me right now. So it's still going to be a really fun treat because I have a really interesting guest. His name is Tom Clooney, and he's a kinesiologist master, maybe. And also a healer of all sorts. So, let's welcome Tom. Hi, Tom.
Good afternoon. Glad to be here. Thanks for the opportunity to speak on the radio and to everyone out there, and really appreciative of a new radio station in the community.
Oh, yeah. It's a big hit.
It really is. I think there's communities need a common way of communicating. Otherwise, it doesn't feel that much like a community. And it really provides an avenue for sharing information, and it can only enhance the community.
The worldwide community.
Exactly. Yes.
So, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. It's a beautiful day here.
It's gorgeous. Okay, first, we'll start with the first question. What do you do, and what's your joy and bliss?
I have been a chiropractor for the last 25 years, and I practice from a holistic perspective, meaning that I use a lot of modalities to help me help people, and that is definitely my bliss, along with playing the banjo from time to time.
That's
the counterbalance. You'd be surprised how many doctors of all types seem to have music as their sideline, and probably has things to do with balancing out the left and right brains.
People
have different ways of arriving at that state.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes lots of sense, actually.
Yes.
Have you ever played your banjo and done chiropractic massage at the same time?
I don't think so. No, they don't quite go together like that.
No. I don't think a banjo is that peaceful when it comes to a massage. Okay, so I've heard that also you're into kinesiology.
Yes, and probably folks are wondering what that is. Kinesiology is a derivative of acupuncture. Basically, it's acupuncture without using needles, and it's trying to arrive at the same ends as acupuncture in terms of balancing out the energy systems of the body. And where it arose from is about 30 plus years ago, a chiropractor had a person come into his office and he had a complaint, which was every time he lifted up his tennis racket, his arm would collapse. And since he played tennis so much, that was a point of great distress for him. And so this chiropractor by the name of George Goodhart started really testing all the muscles and looking at things, and he found these kind of like little BBs of swellings on his rib cage, and he rubbed them out, and lo and behold, the fellow could lift his tennis racket and everything was fine. Most chiropractors at that point probably would have thought, well, wasn't that strange, and then moved on with their life. But George Goodhart got very curious about that, and he started examining muscles and relations. And one of his early discoveries, he found out that specific organs relate to specific muscles. For instance, the lungs relate to the deltoids, the hamstrings relate to the colon, the quadriceps in front of the leg relate to the small intestine, kidneys to the psoas, the liver to the rhomboid. So if someone's having a chronic pain in one of their areas of the body, I start thinking about, okay, how is that related to what organ? And so he continued to investigate this relationship and found that it very neatly related to the acupuncture meridians. And he pursued that study for many years, and now there's a huge Kinesiology Institute, and seminars are given across the country. There's been thousands and thousands of people that have taken these kinds of studies, but it's an ongoing research development, and it's all been documented with electronic machines that actually have needles that measure this. But myself, I don't use any equipment like that. I just use plain old muscle testing. And what muscle testing means is if someone has a problem going on, let's say their liver is not functioning too well. Well, I test a muscle. I have them hold their arm against the side of the body, and I try to pull that arm away, and they're pretty strong. But if they put their hand on the liver alarm part, on the liver alarm point, I should say, their arm will go weak. In fact, I could test any muscle in their body, and it would test weak at that point. It's like they're putting their hands over electrical short. So the muscle testing basically allows a practitioner like myself to find out where the problem is. Is it in the liver? Is it the colon? Is it the thyroid? And by doing simple muscle testings, I can find out what's going on and where. And it's very handy also to find out where there's a problem in the skeletal system. If you have a, say, your hip bone's out of place, I press in one direction and it's strong. Press in the other direction, it's weak. It helps me locate which bone or vertebra has gone out in which direction, and also simultaneously which direction needs to go in order to be corrected. So it's a pretty fascinating system. I have used it every day since I've been a chiropractor, and what I really like about it, it's a tool that I can continue to learn with. People come in and they have things going on, and I, because I know how to do the muscle testing, I can devise certain kinds of tests. For instance, I was giving a talk last night down at the Metaphysical Library, and people came in with cell phones, and we wanted to know if these certain devices that you attach to your cell phone could help balance energies of the cell phone so it wouldn't be quite so detrimental. And so just knowing how to do the muscle test, and we had a person hold a active cell phone next to their ear, and sure enough, their arm got weak as they did that. And then we had the ones with the devices attached to them, and their arm was strong. And it's pretty dramatic. The difference between a weak muscle and a strong muscle is very significant, and it's easily observed by the person being tested. So that's a lot to throw at you. Maybe you have a question or two to ask.
Well, I only know a little bit about kinesiology. I'm just kind of amazed that you know that much. All I was going to say is, though, that you could also use it not just in the workspace, but also in just regular time. Say, if you go to the grocery store and you can't decide if this bread would be better for me or this bread, you grab it and then you muscle test and see which one makes your body stronger, makes your body weaker and stuff.
That's exactly right. You can use that kind of testing for that. It's really nice if you have a partner that or someone handy that can help you with those kinds of tests. A lot of times they have people come in and they're bringing even this morning, a couple boxes of supplements, and they wanted to know which of the supplements were good for them, which were bad for them. And so you can quickly go through and test them one by one and find out which supplement weakens the body field, the body energy. And it's a very simple test. Like I say, you're holding your arm against your body, and then you put the supplements, lay it on, say, their belly, or they're holding it in their hand, and then the arm will either remain strong or it will go weak. And if it goes weak, that's something you shouldn't take at that particular time. So it's a very handy device that way.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And also, I've heard that, have you heard of dowsing?
Yes.
In fact,
Go ahead.
I've heard that kinesiology and dowsing can also combine together in sorts of ways.
Yeah, it's there is a connection, and the connection is basically that everything that we call in our existence, matter here, is also a form of energy. I think it was Einstein that said energy and matter are just different expressions of the same substance or thing, whatever that is. And dowsing taps into that universal energy, and so does muscle testing. In fact, at the Dowsers Convention down in Santa Cruz, I happen to live next to the University of Santa Cruz, and I gave a couple talks at the dowsing symposium they have once a year down there. And I called it Applied Kinesiology, Another Way of Knowing. And so we had a great time at the convention and the interrelatedness between dowsing and muscle testing. What I like about muscle testing as contrasted to dowsing is that a lot of times, if, say, you're holding the pendulum, it's sometimes tough for people to get themselves out of their way to get clear answers. But when I'm working with someone, I'm not attached one way or the other to a yes or no, and the person is able to feel when something goes weak and when something goes strong, when are their muscles and the testing. So it's a way of, say
giving
a person comes in
power.
And they don't know whether this bottle of vitamin C is good for them, but they just spent $30 on it, and they wanted to make sure it's good, and they douse, and of course it's good for them, but perhaps it isn't good. Perhaps it's a genetically modified corn derivative vitamin C, and so it's really bad for them, but the muscle testing will show that right away. And it's important for me as a tester. I'm in kind of a light meditative state. I'm very in a neutral state where I'm not attached to yes or no, and that is something that comes with practice and with simply doing it time after time. And I know I'm doing the muscle testing correctly when I get a surprise yes or a surprise no. And I like that when that happens, because it lets me know that, yes, the testing is going the way it should be.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, like, in a way, with muscle testing, they can know, they can feel when it's strong or weak. But when dowsing, it's all up to you in saying the yes and no, and that you're not. And with kinesiology, you're not connected to a yes or no. You're just there as kind of like a channel of information and stuff.
Yes, exactly. Right. It's as if the body is a computer, and they finally found the access code, which is muscle testing. And with the muscle testing, you can ask the body where the problem is and what it needs in order to be fixed. For instance, with the liver, I just spent 3 years over in Coquille on the coast, and that's a town near Coos Bay. It was very interesting. I would say in that area, that area, for some reason, the liver meridian and the colon meridian were very much down. They were weak, and so many people coming in. Now, I practiced in Santa Cruz, and it was pretty much a smattering of everything, but in that particular area, those two organ systems, meridian systems, were not up to par in so many people. And in the instance of the liver, so many times it turned out to be just plain old dandelion was what people's livers were voting for. And I'd put people on the dandelion, and they'd come back a week or two later and say how their digestion had cleared up, or how their vision had improved and different things like that. So it's... the muscle testing is just a wonderful tool. I would feel pretty lost as a chiropractor without it. Otherwise, I'd just be simply trying to intellectually guess what someone's liver needs. But with the muscle testing, I get a chance or opportunity to ask that liver and that person what it wants.
Now, that is a smart idea. So this is a personal question. What do you recommend for stomach aches and intestinal blockage?
Just depends on, like an instance of a stomach ache, what is going on. You could have food allergies going on. You could have an ulcer going on. And so it's you could have a problem with the spine that's causing problems in the stomach. And so it's a question of what that person needs. With the muscle testing, go in and ask that stomach what it wants. A lot of times if you have an irritated stomach lining, there's many things that help with an irritated lining like that. Aloe vera, sometimes comfrey tea, although some people frown on that, but I've always found that there's no problems with it and it works just fine. Another thing is L-glutamine helps, which is an amino acid complex. It really helps with stomach problems. One of the things I really like for stomach problems is slippery elm bark powder. Just wonderful stuff. It just goes in and it's very soothing for the linings. And that goes along the whole digestive tract. Any irritation along the digestive system, slippery elm bark powder is something that turns up very, very commonly. I've had, I think of one gal who, she came in and she had had cancer several years ago. And she had a lot of radiation therapy and she ended up with the lining of her intestines very irritated. The doctors told her that she would have diarrhea for the rest of her life. And when I looked at her and found out what's going on, I put her on a combination of slippery elm bark powder, comfrey root powder, a little bit of psyllium seed husk, and then I had her put that in about 4 to 6 ounces of carrot juice and make a pudding out of the herbs. And that's quite a bit. You know, normally you go to the store, you get some capsules. You might take 2, 3, or 4 of them. But in the instance when you get it in bulk powder like that, you can take upwards of a tablespoon at a time. Sometimes even a heaping tablespoon of slippery elm bark powder. But anyway, I had her make it into a pudding and had her eat that 4 times a day. And then the next week, we cut it down to 3 and 2 and so forth. But long story short was it healed, and she normalized her digestive system. And I saw her 5 years after that, and she was still fine. So
wow.
I really love herbs. Herbs are, I think, God's medicine to the planet. And as we learn more and more, they're an incredible gift. And we need to keep emphasizing and learning about natural medicines, because I think that is in harmony. The we evolved along with the herbs, and there's an interrelatedness between us and the plant kingdom. And it's much more harmonious, I think, to be working in health that way. Not to say that pharmaceuticals don't have their place, which they do from time to time, but for the most part, for most healing, I think plants are our great ally in health.
Yeah, I totally agree. Especially when it comes to using more nature-based products. So, anyways, getting back to the questions, how did you get into this profession?
Good question on that. I was in my middle 20s, and I was working at that time as actually a house painter, helping my dad paint houses and so forth, and doing a lot of different odd jobs and so forth. And I was helping a friend tear down an old house in Salinas, California. And about halfway, about a half an hour into the job, I suddenly felt really lightheaded, and then I started to get tunnel vision, and voices sounded far away, and I was in the process of passing out, and they rushed me to the emergency and gave me shots of adrenaline, brought me out of it. But what it turned out to be was I had developed an extreme allergy to mold. And so I had several bouts of that where I was exposed to mold, and they had to rush me into emergency, and they basically told me I would have to stop painting. I would have to move out of the country into the city where there's less mold. I would have to curtail all kinds of activity, and they gave me some medications, and I just didn't, it seemed to me that I understood that my body was under a lot of stress at that time, and it just didn't seem right to me. And a friend at the time told me, go see this chiropractor. And to kind of keep her quiet and just to placate her, I went ahead and saw this chiropractor. And it was very interesting. After being basically an invalid for several months, I went to the chiropractor, adjusted my back, and it felt wonderful, and put me on a whole different diet. He said my system was too acid. He looked into my eyes with iridology, which I also do. But he said that my system was way too acid, put me on an alkalizing diet. And make a long story short, in a matter of about 2 weeks, I was back doing everything the medical doctor said I could not do. And I thought, you know, this is really great. I thought chiropractors are just bone setters and nothing else. And I realized that with the DC license, I basically could make that license into virtually anything I wanted, short of drugs and surgery, which I wasn't interested in anyway. And so I wanted to pass that favor along to other folks, and I just jumped into chiropractic school and been at it ever since.
Wow. So, what do you love most about it?
Pardon?
What do you love most about what you do?
It's really nice to help people get out of pain and discomfort. They come in, they have problems, and you do what you do, and they get rid of their problems, and they feel a lot happier for it. And it's just nice. It's a nice feeling now that you've been helpful and to someone. And I've started to say that most chiropractors are out there being chiropractors because somewhere along the line they have similar stories. You talk with enough chiropractors, and they'll tell you, you know, they were maybe on a football team and they got really messed up and really laid up for a while until they finally went to a chiropractor and got straightened out, and they said, oh, this is it for me. You would hear story after story, I'm sure, if you talk with more chiropractors.
Yeah.
I know when I was in junior college and I was looking at different careers and so forth, and I looked at chiropractic and I looked at the brochures, and it seemed like it was way too limited. I know that that health is all dependent on the spine and so forth. And so I wasn't that interested in becoming a chiropractor because I knew that health is so much more than just a straight spine. And it wasn't until I actually experienced what chiropractic care could be that I became one. And so people who are looking around, thinking about different careers and so forth, I would say go beyond what your brochures and the junior colleges tell you. There's a lot more to health and healing than those brochures.
Okay, so that's a good advice for people who want to get into or thinking of getting into chiropractic and stuff.
I'm really glad to see that, you know, particularly here in Ashland, there's quite a family here of naturopaths and so forth, and I really like this rounded approach to health and healing. I just think it's wonderful we're starting to see these more of these professions and giving people more and more options for their health care. And I've always kind of considered myself a chiropractor / naturopath because I do use a lot of these natural remedies. Just from day one, I've always been that way. And many chiropractors are. The thing, it's kind of different from chiropractors and medical doctors, just so that people know that if you go to most medical doctors, they have a very kind of set pattern of what they do, and you go and you'll have your temperature taken and reflexes tested and so forth and so on. But you go to chiropractors. Chiropractors are very different. You'll find one person who does nothing but simply adjust. And then you go to another chiropractor. They may do that, but they may be using an instrument. And you go to someone like me, and I'll be using a lot of nutrition and herbs and kinesiology and home therapies and so forth. But then you go down the road and somebody will be doing things quite differently. So chiropractors are very different one from the other.
Well, I didn't know there were so many unique things about chiropractic. I thought it was all just back adjusting and stuff. Wow.
Yes, it's always surprising. And even within chiropractic, there's 7 or 8 major schools of ways to adjust. There's a little gadget called an activator that a lot of people use. There's another form called SOT, which stands for sacral occipital technique, in which they use blocks and wedges to a person lies on those and it kind of unwinds their spine. There's a diversified type of adjustments. There's some chiropractic techniques that use a lot of x-rays, and then from there they go ahead and do the adjustments that they think are needed. I seldom myself ever use x-rays. I only use x-rays when I think you have a broken bone or some kind of pathology that warrants, but otherwise I don't use x-rays hardly at all.
Wow. Okay. My mind is like saying, woo-hoo. Okay, so a little bit off subject, but a big question, okay? Ready for it?
Okay.
Okay. What do you think would make a great positive change for the better of the world?
I think for the world, it would just simply be to take a deep breath and stop and listen. Listen to themselves, listen to each other, listen to nature. Just start listening.
Yeah, I
that's a short answer. That's a short answer, but
short answer for a big question.
But it's true. I think we get so caught up in our lives, we don't listen to our bodies. What our bodies are telling us. We have a hard time listening to nature, the things that nature has to teach us. We can learn a lot from our house cat, just to watch how they function during the day. there's a lot to learn there from just watching and listening.
Yeah.
And I think from that, see what happens is one of my peeves or whatever is I think that part of the educational system is so distorted, and what happens, you walk into a school and all of a sudden you're told that you're an A, B, C, D, F student and to sit down and be quiet and do as you're told, and you're kind of imprisoned there, and you might want to get up and run and so forth, but you're forced to stay there, and you gradually get cut off from your natural impulses. And that there's a kind of a shutting down that happens in that process. And so we stop listening to our bodies. We get separated almost from our natural self. And from that separation just expands into being separated from really listening to each other more deeply. So there's I could go on in this, as I say, it's a topic of mine about the listening. I was actually a radio talk show host down in Santa Cruz on 2 radio stations part-time, but I asked the fellow, it was actually more of a political type of show, and I asked the fellow, actually his name is Henry Lamb, who runs a Sovereignty Institute and so forth, but I asked him, I said, what do you think the greatest problem facing America is? And he said, apathy. And I thought it was a very interesting answer. He could have said so many things, but he said that one word and gave me pause for thought, and I'm still thinking about it.
So, apathy?
Apathy. It's kind of somewhat similar to the question you asked of me, only you put yours in a much more positive light.
Positive.
Like
that. Yeah. So you're thinking that there needs to be a new wave of change in the schools. more natural environment, learning out on foot instead of in classrooms, and not being contained?
I think, yes, I think there's going to be revolutions in the near future about just how schools are done. I see many things. The computer's really going to start changing things. I think there's going to be a lot more at-home type of learning. There will definitely still be coming together of students from place to place and time to time, but there's... one of the things I observed in chiropractic school that basically you had a lot of dry knowledge that you had to learn, such as anatomy and physiology and pathology and so forth. We basically, as chiropractic students, by the way, we studied out of the same identical books as the medical doctors do, and as much or more hours in those subjects. But you have the technical knowledge like that, the dry subject matter, but then you have a skill that you're trying to learn, which in our case was adjusting. And I realized that you could have a class of 500 or no class at all in terms of learning that dry material, but in terms of learning skills, it's much better if you had one instructor to about 7 or 8 to 10 students and no more. And I thought it would be much better for schools if they realized the difference between learning a technical skill and how they taught a technical skill versus the dry academic learning. So I could see a lot of renovation could be done in the schools. I could go on and on. I've thought about this a lot because I've, of course, been a product of the education and miseducation and so forth, and there's a lot of pluses and minuses in that whole situation. But I would love to be in a position where I might be able to influence that type of direction.
That sounds like a good idea. Maybe you should be, like, make a group or something about the new change of schools.
Well, okay. Actually, I confess, I hope in the when I get a little bit more time and your station is up and running that maybe I can be a cohort of yours.
Oh, that would be fun. Or you could have your own show if you want.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Just be.
Oh, okay.
See, that's why I think community radio is so grand, because people have different ideas and you can get on and discuss things and really talk them out thoroughly. For instance, just came from over in the area of Coos Bay and Coquille and so forth. And over there, they're talking about putting in a liquefied natural gas plant, which I think they're putting it right next to the railway system and right across from a airport. It's a very poor place to be putting what basically amounts to a very explosive a plant within easily within reach of schools and so forth. But the community over there doesn't have a way to really talk about that and discuss that, whereas with a radio station, you do have that opportunity. And that's why I think a community radio station is one of the most greatest assets a community can have, because it really provides the opportunity for people to exchange ideas and learn things from one another. And any topic that comes up, whether it's health or politics or whatever, that after you've heard about a dozen to three dozen opinions on it, you get a pretty good idea of the gamut of possibilities on any particular topic. It's just a tremendous asset and learning tool for the community, and so I'd really support your station expanding itself.
I do too, and I wish you lots of luck. That's all we have for time for our interview, but it was a lot of fun and a lot of information, and hopefully we can do it again sometime.
That sounds great. Yes, I could tell all kinds of different things that would be. I'd really like to talk more on healthcare, so we can put a bookmark in this and come back to it.
All right.
I really want to thank you for this opportunity, Preston.
I want to thank you for coming.
All right.
So, all right. Have a wonderful day.
You do the same. And thank you to everyone out there. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, was that a lot of information, peoples? Okay, I'm trying to get myself a little bit cleared and centered and focused, because it's kind of like dumping 5,000 gallons of water into a 100-gallon pot. But it was really interesting. I'm sure we'd probably need a 3-hour show if we wanted him to show everything he knows about it. Okay, so with that said, I'd like to do a few ahas that I aha'd just around this week, and it's amazing. I think it's going to really change life. Okay, so right now there's this energy of freedom, extreme freedom energy, and I'm sure you've heard when people tell you, you have to do something, you immediately buck heads like a donkey, go, yeah, make me, I'm not going to do it, you know. And then people have to push you and push you, push you, just to do it. And you're like, anything that someone wants you have to do, you begrudgingly kind of do it. Even if it's something that you enjoy, you have to watch TV, you have to go outside and play. And it's like, aw. And, you know, it's just because that have-to energy, and you're so free, we don't have to do anything that we don't choose to do. So, first of all, I never use have-to. I always say choose-to. Even if I, quote-unquote, have to go get groceries, I choose to go get groceries. Now, with that said, here is the way we can work with this freedom, okay, play, with this freedom energy, so then we can still do the things that we quote-unquote, choose to do. Basically, what I say is that I have the freedom to do this. I have the freedom to do that. No one's telling me I cannot clean this room. I cannot wash dishes. So today, yesterday, I went and I started saying, I have the freedom to clean up this room. You know, I'm thinking in my head and I'm singing, of course, because singing brings even more energy. It, like, amplifies it with joy and stuff. And I'm saying I had the freedom to clean up this room. So I started doing it and cleaning up this room, and it was amazing. Like, I felt so good and fun about it. And I was like, wow. Now if someone said, hey, you have to clean this room, oh man, okay. But I said in my time that I have the freedom to clean up this room. It was an independent decision because I have the freedom to do it. And that's why it motivated me so much. And also because I have this little point system thing so I can do more chores. No. Joyful things to help out. That's what I call it. Just joyful things to help out. Anything that makes you motivate you to do other stuff, like help out around the house and stuff, it's good. Joyful things to help out. Okay. So, also, another thing to really motivate you and help you do stuff that you quote-unquote choose to do, make everything that you do a joy by putting your creative energy into it. One time I was, you know, cooking up this burger thing for John and, you know, vegetables. I'm like, oh my God, I have to stick with dinner. It was actually right before a radio show. And so I was just kind of like, oh, whatever, you know, because I had to do it. Someone asked me to. But then I realized, wait a minute, I can choose to do it. And I can make this any way I possibly can. No one's telling me how I have to make it. I can do whatever I want with it. I can saute it. I can fry it. I can just throw it up in the air and catch it with the pan. And I was getting all up like emerald on this thing. I was just like, shh. And I was flipping it and flopping it. And I was cooking it. And I was having so much fun. I was just cooking dinner. But I was putting my creative energy into it. And that's what made it so fun. So if we put our creative energy into everything that we do, then we will have much more fun with everything that we choose to do. Ah, it's amazing, aha. Also, another example. I was washing dishes, washing and drying them, and I have this point system thing where all the things I joyfully do to help out, I get points. And these points can be used to watch TV or go on the computer or have a friend over, play a video game, or go to places that I want to go, you know. It's a very interesting and awesome system that I made up, and I'm still sticking to it. Anyways, so I was like, okay, I made it into a game. I'm like, all right, if I finish this whole half sink in 15 minutes, then every disc I did equals 2 points. And so I'm all like, I start doing it, and I'm like scrubbing, and I'm like my own announcer. I'm like, and he goes after the scrub. Oh, he's doing good. Oh, it's pretty good. Oh, it's close. He's starting off. He goes for the wrench. Oh, one already, you know. And I'm like doing my own self-commentating. And this is another example of putting creative energy into it. And by the time I was like, I was looking at the clock. I was like, oh, no. It was like seconds later. And I just had like 3 or 4 digits. And I'm just like, doof, doof, doof. And I'm still doing as best I can without breaking any dish, except I broke one. But that's okay. But anyways, and I got it done 1 second before. And I was like, woohoo! And I did the dishes. I mean, what's so exciting about that? But me, I put it into a game. And I was, after that, I was, woohoo, oh, yeah. I got 30 points for me doing that. Woo-hoo. And I was just so excited just of doing half a sink of dishes. And that joy made me want to do the next half. And this time, I just did it one at a time. I didn't race myself because rushing energy is not good. But, you know, a little challenge, when you challenge yourself, oh, I bet you can't clean up this room in 15 minutes. Oh, I bet I can. Boom, you know, like that. That's good. Not challenge like it's hard. Everything's easy, and you let it come easy. But there's just between easy and lazy. Easy is everything that you choose to joyfully do to help out will be easy. Lazy is, it's going to be easy, I'm just going to sit on my butt and not do anything. That's easy. So, easy in everything that you do. Okay? Have easy and fun and effortlessness. Okay, so, now that we've got that covered, put lots of creative energy into your life and everything that you do. Have fun and joy. Woo! That was a little poem I did. Okay, so now I would like to share a song that I wrote about global warming, I think, because I write songs and sing them, and it's a really powerful song. I only have a little bit left, a little bit left to write until it's finished. This is what I have so far. Okay. Sitting on a sidewalk, watching the time go by. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I look to myself and I ask why the world has to go through all these things it doesn't need to do. Yeah. And why we say there's nothing we can do about it. When we have the power, we have the power to. You can change the world with a smile on your face. Show your joy and your grace. You can change the world in your heart, in your soul. Just relax, let go, and let it unfold. You can change the world with a smile on your face. You can change the world. Just relax, let go, and let it flow. There you go. And I haven't worn up my voice yet, so that was just like a mini pre-clip of what my amazing voice can do. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed that as much as I do. Woohoo! I really want to get out there and sing more, because I love singing and dancing and acting and performing and talking. I do that a lot. Talk. Okay, anyways, before we do a beautiful ending meditation, I'd like to do one little clothes and colors update. Okay, so today is a very warm, wonderful day. Hopefully, whatever day you hear this, it'll be a warm, wonderful day. So shorts and t-shirts are great. Now, it comes to energy and colors. Orange and blue are really main keys. Orange, if you want to have bright joy, just like fire running around, energize. Blue, if you want to have peace, calmness, and prosperity. And, you know, so you still have that joy, like, woohoo, but you want to get out and be like, ah, relax. One's for like, woohoo, I want to go run a marathon. One's like, I want to relax. Light blues and putting orange, blue and orange together. Sometimes it may not be a good color combination when it comes to looks, but it's great for energy today. So, find a way to put it together, like an orange bracelet, blue bracelet, orange shirt, or blue shoes, you know, anything like that. So, that has been our color update. Now let's take a deep breath and have a short, sweet, and beautiful meditation. So close your eyes and lay back and get in a comfortable position on a comfortable, soft, cozy bed or wherever you want to do this. And take three wonderful deep breaths. Go out into the sky and go up and up, 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 as we see that beautiful, bright, wonderful, starry sky that we once saw again. There's planets all around. You're so relaxed. You look which one you want to go. It's your choice. You can go anywhere you want. But today, let's go to this beautiful green planet underneath this big red planet. This is called Krisuchi, and that is the planet of the heart and power system, or stomach, put together. Now go in there and see this lush, beautiful grass, beautiful rainforest, and gorgeous sun. Walk over there as you see the beautiful, gorgeous green glowing thing of energy just kind of vibrating as high as it can be, floating around where it's in place. You walk up to it and touch it. Feel this green, tingly energy. It makes you giggle and makes you smile. And it goes all around, up your hand, down your leg, up, around, everywhere. It fills your body. You just want to laugh. You just want to sing or say la 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 la. Spontaneous, amazing energy. And walk into it as you touch it. Feel your body go right into it and unite into it. Now see it float up, up. See this energy come straight together. A big, beautiful blast of light. And now relax back in. You float carefully down from the sky, down back into your world, to your body. When you wake up, everything you see is smiles and joy, spontaneous energy, light and love. And you have the power to do anything, so achieve your goals. Now, open your eyes. Come back to this beautiful world we call home. Full of love and light. And stretch up and greet the day again. And have a wonderful, amazing day. That was a short, sweet, beautiful meditation. So, with that said, I would like to to say my beautiful, beautiful last contact information, and I forgot to get Tom's contact information. So when he comes on the bio page, I'll pop it, I'll put on his contact information if you want to get a hold of him. So, anyways, if you are interested in getting a beautiful, wonderful angel reading from me, then you can contact me at crystalrainbowcelebration@yahoo.com. crystalrainbowcelebration@yahoo.com. Now that's crystalrainbowcelebration@yahoo.com. It's a big thing, so I say it three times just so you can remember it. Also, this is a first-time, one-in-a-lifetime chance ever. You can call 1-541-482-8046. That's our home number. Now, only call if you really, really, really want angel reading or just want to talk and get a hold of us. Just be love and be glad to talk to you. Okay. BBS Radio, amazing, awesome, good show, have fun. I can't think of any more. Oh, right, about working with John. If you heard of last radio show and you're fascinated with John and stuff, then remember you can email me at fireredone3run@yahoo.com. fireredone3run@yahoo.com and put subject line working with John. Okay, so that's almost all the time we have for now. I'm just a little bit early, but that's okay because we got to a late start. So have a wonderful, amazing, joyful, abundance-filled, awesome day. And remember, be like Happy Feet. Get your happy feet on. So have a wonderful, joyful, amazing day. Because I will too. Goodbye, everybody. Mwah! We love you. Fill the world with love. Goodbye. Ending music now. This has been a presentation of Living and Loving Life as seen through the eyes of an indigo crystal profession. Have a wonderful day. Goodbye. Bye-bye.